What is going on? Steve here, and I just want to say, you know, happy holidays, or happy Christmas. But, yeah, this episode is half of our kind of year in review, so it's a few of our favorite things this year, and, it's a very, very, very fun conversation. We spoke about a lot of things, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So like I said again, happy Christmas, or happy holidays, and here's to another awesome new year, better than this year, but you know what I mean. enjoy it.
InnerCityGeeks.net.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Inner City Geeks podcast. This is Steve here, and this is episode 234, and joining me today, I have Renee.
Hey, what's going on, man?
And we're gonna have everybody else joining us other than Brian's not gonna join us today, but we will be having Franny and Alex joining us a little bit later, but I figured I'd start it because it's pretty late, so why not?
we have a schedule to keep, right?
Yeah. We got a schedule to keep. We gotta, you know, especially if we're, you know, going live and stuff. We gotta keep a schedule sometimes. But this week is gonna be different than, you know. Well, the last week was also a different type of episode. We didn't really go into, you know, what's been going on and stuff. But this week being that you know, the year is pretty much almost over, I figured we'd talk about a few of our favorite things. So kind of like that song from the fucking The Sound of Music. These are a few of our favorite things. Yeah, but
we're doing it differently, right?
Yeah, we're doing it way differently because, of course, instead of just doing, oh yeah, we're just all gonna do, you know, our top movies or whatever, or our top TV shows, I figured we just do some of our favorite things. It could be either movies or TV shows or music or things that we pretty much geeked out about throughout the entire year. That wasn't just specifically just movies or specifically just TV. Even though we are going to each talk about these things that we, of course, we have seen and experienced, but it's better than just talking just about one specific type of thing or one specific medium in a way. Yeah, there you go. That's the word.
which is a good way to do it because we've all been homebound and we've saw so much good stuff this year.
Yeah,
we've seen including so today and yesterday because The Stand came out. Mm-hmm. And there's all this other stuff that like was so good in such a shitty year for everything else that we could have had a list of like 20 things long and end up recording a fucking 4-hour long podcast. So like I took me a while to narrow it down and I really had to think about my choices, which is a good thing. And yeah, also I try not to spend time or money on stuff that sucks anymore. Like I've been like that since I was living in New York paying a ridiculous amount for rent. Like my money means something and time is money. So yeah, that's my whole philosophy, I guess.
All right, it's the truth. If it don't make money, it don't make sense.
Yeah,
I don't know, but yeah.
Franny's
here.
Hi.
What is this? Who's on your shirt?
Nice.
That's what I thought. That's why you're on the show. That's what I thought.
Yay, Franny! How you doing, Franny?
Hi, I'm good. I'm good.
Awesome. Like I was saying, we're not going to go into a bunch of, you know, the what's been going on and everything. We're just going to jump into it. Of course, we just literally just started. So waiting on Alex, I guess. But I guess we can start with our stuff. Do you have your the list of your things that you're going to be talking about?
Yeah. I made it once I figured out that I read it completely wrong and you wanted to know about like movies, not like life things. there wasn't that many
okay.
to choose from. So yeah, I did it. I screenshotted everything. and I have two movies, one show.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Good. I'm glad you got your list started.
And I looked at your guys' list and because I didn't want it to like be the same.
Yes, that's also a reason.
So I did look at it before I jumped on.
Yeah, that's also a reason why I wanted to do a whole list of things so that way we're not all just talking about.
Oh, and by the way, I was like, what fucking list? Because like I checked my email and I didn't have it. They sent it to fucking spam.
Oh, that's fun.
But I found it, so okay. I'm prepared.
Okay, good. Sweet. Yay, stupid Gmails. But
yeah, like seriously, how do you send me the podcast link from the same email and the other email that you sent me yesterday to my spam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found it. At least I found it.
Yeah, exactly. Yay.
I got all sad. I was like, he didn't send me no list.
No. Yeah.
And there it was.
Yeah. The reason I wanted to do the list that way is so that way we're not all jumping over each other, because that way we all have something different to talk about. And some, because we could all be like, oh yeah, we loved this one thing, and then everybody else be like, okay, yeah, then that's the episode, because we all wound up talking about the same fucking thing, and that's not fun. It doesn't make it very fun.
Well, it's tricky for 2020. Like there really wasn't that many things.
there were a lot of things, but we were kind of restricted on what we could do. We only got to see certain things or experience certain things.
Yeah, limited options.
That's the word. My brain doesn't work sometimes.
Extremely limited options.
So, also, I'm gonna be going over Brian's list, since Brian's not gonna be with us today. I'm gonna be talking about the stuff that Brian has as well.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're gonna be going over. I'll say it again. We're gonna each pick three different things, whether it be TV, movies, music, events. I asked Brian to do figures as well, if he wanted to do figures, because he loves his toys and stuff. Mm-hmm. You didn't give me any toys or anything?
I have two.
Oh, you have two figures as well? Two toys?
Toys, yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. And we also two honorable mentions towards the end. And then maybe something a little bit later. But we'll see. We'll see how the episode goes. And yeah. So I guess I can start with Brian's stuff right now, because of course Brian's not going to be here. The first thing that he put on his list for is a movie, and it's The Devil All the Time, which is the Netflix movie that came out this year that was with Tom Holland.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man was in a movie, and I didn't get to see it. I didn't watch it, but I heard a lot of good things about it.
It was really good. That was going to be one of my picks too, but I saw it on the list.
Okay, so
I was like, yeah.
What was the movie about? Because I don't.
It was a thriller. It was definitely a thriller. I don't want to give too much away. It really reminded me of a classic kind of movie, in the sense of like the way they filmed it and the fact that it was like in a small town. You know, it's about small town living, and you know, a new preacher rolls into town, and things get a little dark with this one family around what this preacher ends up doing to Tom Holland's cousin. But like the story is revolved around this family and the tragedy that like kind of follows the family, you know? This is me giving really broad strokes because it's very good. And the acting is superb because we have Tom Hollins. He was so great. I see him in a totally different, mature acting light. He's not, you know, Spider-Man. There's no way he is typecasted because he brings it amazingly to this movie as one of the main characters. And terrible with names, but the dude from Twilight is the preacher.
So Batman's a preacher.
The dude from Twilight is Preacher.
He's going to be Batman. He's going to be Batman.
I know, but I'm not acknowledging that. You guys can, but I'm not.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so
the movie isn't even out yet, dude. Like,
I'm just kind of over, and I'm a huge Batman fan. I'm kind of fatigued.
That's fair.
Not acknowledging that right now. You guys can, I'm going to pass.
He's a really good actor. Yeah, he's a really good actor.
He is amazing.
Like, everything but Twilight. And he's done. It's pretty good.
Right. And I've never seen him outside of that. So seeing him in this movie blew me away because he's the villain. Holy shit, does he bring it? You know? He plays a really great villain.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it. It's very tragic, it's very emotional, it's so good. And it's a definite classic in its own
rights. Nice.
Yeah. And it's very original. I think it's a book. It's great. It's great. And the way it ends is great. And there's like a narration also along with the acting. And I thought it was done very well. Usually when they do like the narration, it kind of clashes with the film itself, but it was done so well. It kind of reminded me of A Christmas Story, how the narration worked very well with the movie's flow. Like it was part of the movie. It just wasn't like an afterthought. You know what I mean? And just like kind of plugged in. It gave nuance. It gave a really nice nuance and added to that classic kind of movie feel.
Interesting.
So it was really good. Very good.
Well, very cool, very cool. I'll definitely be checking that out. But yeah, thanks for going over that movie because like I said, I
in super broad strokes because I want everybody to watch it. Give anything else away, it's gonna unravel because it's, you know, it's a thriller, so everything pieces together in layers and comes full circle.
Okay. At the end. Okay.
I just remembered his name, Robert Pattinson, right?
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Yes. Yeah.
If you really like the way he was in that, there's a bunch of stuff that he did on all over the streaming stuff. Like he's got one movie on Netflix and another one on Amazon. And like you said, he's a really good actor and he can be super intense. And I just could not watch Twilight because I thought they were so bad. But he's really impressed me with the way he does things afterwards. Like he's a really, really good actor. He's in Tenet too. And he's probably the best thing in that movie.
Okay.
Cool.
Not saying much, but whatever.
Yeah. Hey,
so sometimes that's what saves a movie from being total garbage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard mixed things about that movie. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
So, Renee, you give me one of your top picks for the year.
Let me look at the list again. All right, I'll do one that not too many people have checked out, and I think that's really, really bad because it's literally the best horror movie I've seen since recent stuff. Let me think. I mean, they're by the same director, so it kind of makes sense to me, but I really like the Happy Death Day movies. I think they're really, really good. My first pick is Freaky. Freaky, right? Freaky. With Vince Vaughn, and I forgot the girl's name, but she's in something else too. It's a really, really, really good movie. They do stuff in it, horror-wise, that I haven't seen in a really long time. It's a really good look. It's a really good twist on the slasher stuff and the whole Freaky Friday concept of switching bodies. What sucks is that it came out at the worst possible time. And I don't think anybody saw it. But it is definitely worth your $10, $15 to watch on Amazon. That movie's really fucking good. I was very, very surprised and highly entertained. It's gory as fuck. Some of the kills are so inventive. It's hilarious. It's just a really perfect horror movie from start to finish. And I love that I didn't have to go on Wikipedia to figure out what the fuck I just saw, which is something that a lot of horror movies do now, and it's getting out of control. I know I've spoken about Hereditary, but at the same time, I really liked Midsommar. So it's kind of weird with horror now, with horror stuff now. But that's why, like, I love Freaky so much. Like, I've been into horror since I was, what, 5 years old? I think I said it last time with the whole Aliens thing. And, yeah, man, after everything I've seen lately, this is probably the best horror movie to come out from a major studio in a long fucking... It's really, really good.
Nice, nice. The girl that you're talking about is Catherine Newton. She's
in something else that I saw.
She was in Captain Pikachu. She was also in Blockers, which is actually a really fun movie that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's where I saw her. Blockers, that's where I remember her from.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
But that's a good pick, man. Thank you. Franny, you give us your choice, your first pick. You're muted, Franny.
My bad. my first pick, I had to pick up use my phone so I could see what I picked. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes ago. Tremors, Shrieker Island came out this year, and it too is a horror movie, and I absolutely enjoyed it. It was cheesy. It kept to its Tremors lore, which is why I love the series. The story kept evolving and staying true to its own made up lore, and they closed off the series with Shrieker Island, which I wasn't prepared for. Okay. So it hit me hard. I wasn't ready for Bert Gummer, the most badass underappreciated monster hunter of all time, to retire.
Yeah.
But it was a fun watch. It's epic. It's messy. You know, it is very gross. And it was a nice goodbye. You know, he went out like a boss. And that was the best way to send this character off. If it was time for him to go, because he's pretty old. So I get it. You can't keep running after monsters all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
At some point, your knees are going to give out. You know, you're 70 something, you know, so it made sense. And it stayed true, and I absolutely loved it. So
nice. That's an awesome pick, because I've always loved the Tremor series, but I haven't seen the new one. I haven't actually seen the last two or whatever, but I've always loved the originals, and even up to like the third or fourth one or whatever, I enjoyed them. But this new one, I haven't been able to check it out.
Yeah, they're really great. Besides the kind of standalone one where they go back in time and kind of show you like the prequel of that town, and they use Bert in there, which kind of like confuses everything. That one I really don't count part of the legacy of Tremors. I kind of feel like one of those fun out of the box tries. Yeah. I'm glad they picked up the original story plot and kept moving forward. Because it's a great watch from start to finish. When I saw Shrieker Island, I went out and bought the whole series and watched it all the way through. It's perfection. especially for a cheesy, you know, air quotes, B-rated horror movie.
Right.
It really stands the testament of time, and its story doesn't get old, and they're always fun to watch no matter where you pick up. It all makes sense.
Okay.
It's just great. Very impressed by their writing. You know, gives me a geek boner, you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Like I said, I want to watch it. I want to check it out. So I may be doing that next week, because why not, right?
It's still on Netflix, so.
Yeah. And it'll be on Netflix for a while because Netflix doesn't really destroy the things that they put out sometimes. So I guess we'll go to my pick. My pick for you know, my top three things that I enjoyed for the year so far. I guess I'm gonna go with some horror stuff because of course we've been talking about horror. So yeah, it looks like we all love the horror stuff. So the one that I'm picking is Color of the Space. Color Out of Space. What the fuck? Yeah, I'm not even drinking right now. But yeah, Color Out of Space. That is a fantastic fucking horror movie. And it's one of those that has like a huge build. So it starts off really slow. And then as it goes, it just like starts showing you how fucked up it can get and how fucked up it can get. It just keeps going and going and going to the point that you're just like, what the fuck just happened here? And then you're just like, holy shit, this is insanity. But it's actually a really fun movie. Of course, like I forgot to mention that it actually stars one of the most underrated actors that does a lot of shit all the time. It's fucking Nick Cage.
I love him.
He chooses the scenery, but he fucking does his fucking thing in it when he does, and I fucking love it. So yeah, color out of space. There we go. It's a good fucking flick. It's definitely worth checking out. It's one of those movies that like I've mentioned before. If you've seen Creepshow, there is one part of Creepshow that has a lot of the elements that were done into this movie in it. One of the little vignettes in Creepshow is the one with Stephen King that he's like the farmer.
He turns into a mossy creature because yes. of the meteor.
Yes. So that's pretty much the entire thing. That's this movie.
He becomes crazy from a meteor?
Yeah, because a meteor lands.
I figured it out.
the meteor lands in his land or whatever, and it basically winds up fucking with his entire family.
See, that's pretty cool. That see, instead of doing fucking reboots, let's do more of that shit right there. Yeah, take an old idea and make it your own into a bigger idea.
Yeah, it's That's fucking great the way they did it.
I didn't see that.
yeah, you didn't see that coming, right? Yeah. it's good. It's definitely worth a watch. I think I saw it on Shudder. So if you want to check that out, it should be on Shudder still. I don't think it's going to be coming off anytime soon. But it's a really, really fun flick to watch. So definitely check out the color Out of Space. And it's cool because also like what I did love about it is the fact that the entire tone of the movie is very purple. So it's very, very, very purple, very violet, very, very like if you're high on some shit, it'll just fall right into place for you. It's really fucking good.
I really love when movies do that. It's few, far in between, so you notice immediately where like the color scheme of the movie is mm-hmm. part of the fucking tension. You know, it's part of the movie. It's part of the entire story. Because mm-hmm. same thing back with the devil that's here or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Their colors were very gray and like a gray blue. You know, and then when the tension started changing, it started getting like a little brighter and like a little more beige. Mm-hmm. And it's done to the point where it is noticeable.
Yeah.
So that's even more, inviting to watch the color Out of Space, that it uh-huh. does the same thing. It brings in the color into the story.
It goes from green, because of course it's out in the country or whatever. Mm-hmm. As the story goes, it starts turning more and more dark and purple, and everything just starts looking violet and weird. And that's when you see shit's really starting to go down.
Escalate. That's so cool.
And it gets to a point that you're like, what the fuck am I watching? Because you see some shit.
You're watching a really bad ass trip. from space.
Yeah, yeah. Some shit. Like I know I mentioned it on the episode that I watched when I first spoke about it, but yeah, there's some shit that happens with a horse, some other shit that happens with like a mother and her son. It's fucking crazy.
Nice.
It's good, but it's crazy good. Yeah, so The Color Out of Space is there. I said it right, straight, once. Yeah. Color Out of Space is it's a dope fucking flick. So definitely suggest you guys check it out. So at the moment, I believe Alex is not going to be on with us yet. Possibly, maybe so. He's having his little issues over there. But I'm going to go with his pick, which is going to be the Animaniacs TV show, which is a fucking fun show. The new Animaniacs reboot is fucking great. I sat down and I watched the entire thing, and it is so much fun. There's so much of the original that lends itself to the reboot that it just fucking all fits. It all fits. It all makes sense. And it all seems as if like it didn't go away for fucking like 10, 15 years.
Yes. Yes. It's like the first successful, at least for me, animated reboot.
Yeah.
Of all time, because mm-hmm. every single one that has come out, I have despised.
Yeah.
So this was very, very, very nice. That was also on my list. But when I saw it, I was like, okay, I gotta pick something else, and I did. But yeah, it was great. It was great. I finished it in like one sitting, and only recently, like throughout the day, if I have a moment of free time, I watch one episode again. So it's definitely, yeah, one of those shows. Or
definitely rewatchable.
Yeah, as soon as you finish it, you kind of want to go back and watch it because mm-hmm. it's comforting.
Yeah, yeah, and it also like not only just that, but like there are times. Hilarious. Yeah, yeah, it is fucking hilarious. But there are times that like you're just like, oh yeah, did I just miss a joke? Because there are tons of fucking jokes throughout the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, or like, things in the background that you didn't notice before, or just like
yeah, yeah. And the thing is like I always watch like, with subtitles, so like I'll read the joke before I actually like see it. But like hearing it. I like reading the subtitles sometimes because it helps me read. Because I don't really read books anyway. So just reading them on the
screen. I get it. That's how I used to use anime. Anime helped me become a no longer a finger reader.
Right, yeah, you know? Yeah. Don't follow along. Don't follow along. Yeah. But
if it's not in another language and there's subtitles, I can't. For some reason, it doesn't work for me. I can't focus. I find myself like, I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah, no, I've learned to channel my focus on all the things, but yeah, Animaniacs is it's a great fucking show. Like it like I said, it doesn't seem as if they disappeared for ages,
mm-hmm.
for like a decade or so. It doesn't seem like it at all. It just seems like they just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna keep going. This is the story that we had back then, so we're just gonna put it back out now. And I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited for it. I'm glad it came out, and I'm excited to see if they're gonna do another season for it.
Right, and if they don't, because you know people's feelings, too many feelings out there in the world. But if it doesn't, I'm glad that we even had a whole season. But if it does come out with a season two. For me, that brings a lot of hope on many levels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From what it looks like, they're gonna do it because they put out a disclaimer too, like, yo, like, don't be so butthurt about shit. Like, it's fucking, it's basically just related to shit that's happening. Not necessarily now, because of course it's it's written like a couple years in advance. So deal with it, people.
Right. It's a joke. It's a cartoon. It's supposed to make you laugh about serious situations.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And not only is it that, like, it's all about fictional characters, people.
Right. And if you don't like it, don't fucking watch it. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. If you don't like it, yeah. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Like, that's it. So I guess it leads us to our next choice. We're going to go with Brian's. We did Alex. Okay, so we're going to do Brian's choice right now. He did another TV show that I actually watched. And that is Upload. That was on Amazon. That show is on Amazon. And it basically is, it's in the somewhat of a near future. But the thing about the show is that that kind of makes it original to me. It's kind of like The Good Place. You know how The Good Place, it's when people die, they go to heaven and shit like that. So their soul goes to heaven. But in this one, their consciousness is uploaded to a huge server. And their consciousness, it seems like they're not dead because they're able to interact with their human counterparts, so like their wives or their husbands or whatever. And their husbands and wives can come visit them in this, you know, artificial intelligence place. And it's fucking crazy good.
And they're dead?
Yeah. Their bodies are, their bodies are dead.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Wow. A very pretty purgatory?
Yeah. It's pretty much kind of what it is.
Wow.
So the more money you have, the better place that you can go to. So the people that are pretty much broke, they'll get to be in a specific place in like a fucking tenement building and shit. So they'll be there, but they'll be able to interact with each other. But you also have to buy credits to actually be there. So if you run out of credits, you can't stream or anything. You can't fucking be, you know, nobody can interact with you. So you can only do but so much. But the more money you have, you have free for all for everything else. So it's really fucking cool, and it goes from a comedy to something really, really dark towards the end of the season, and it's really fucking fun. It's a really cool show. Should definitely check it out. It's called Upload on Amazon Prime. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, just go to the bottom of the innercitygeeks.net and you could find a link to Amazon so you get a month for free.
Nice plug, Steve.
Oh,
nice
plug. Yeah, that's what I do. I plug it in. Plug it in. I'm sorry, that was horrible, but I don't give a fuck. But Renee, what you got for me, dude?
Oh man, what did I miss? I had testicle difficulties.
It's all good. You haven't really missed much. I just went over Brian's pick for Upload, and I also went over Alex's Animaniacs.
What did Franny pick?
Franny, she...
I did not go yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm after you.
We're on the second one. Second pick,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry for holding you guys on my laptop. This is like shit to bed. My next one... Oh, my next one's a big one. Oh, it's big. It's huge.
That's what she said.
Yes, she did. The Mandalorian.
Yay.
Is my TV best of. There was a lot of really good shit on TV this year. Me and Steve kind of shared one show, and I know there's been so much stuff out this year on TV. You can tell I started smoking because I'm about to ramble.
there's a lot of shit that came
the
out.
The best way I can describe it is what I kind of said as soon as I saw it. Like, my first reactions after the episode today, which was the season finale, was like, one, I fell in love with Star Wars again. Two, I'm not spoiling nothing. I'm not spoiling nothing, so you're okay, all right? I'm not going to say anything because I know people haven't seen it, and my God, the fucking spoilers today are fucking out of control. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not, but everyone else is, so, and you're in for a treat, but...
All I've seen so far, luckily, is that it has bitches crying. So yeah. At least
Yeah, we all angry cried this morning, like 4 a.m. when the episode finished. It's really good. But like I said, Star Wars was like an ex-wife with the sequel trilogy, right? Those movies are J.J. Abrams movies, and the second one, the piece of shit one, is a Rian Johnson movie. They're not Star Wars movies to me. Right, and I was entertained by the rise. I was entertained by the Rise of Skywalker, but it was still a bad movie. All right, let's be real. Let's be honest.
Facts.
For a fucking TV show that has half the budget of those movies to fucking get Star Wars right, when these idiots couldn't do it with all the money in the world and Disney behind them, says a lot about J.J. Abrams. And especially Mr. Ryan, go fuck yourself, Johnson. My bile came up when I was thinking about all the wasted opportunities that they had with those movies, and they completely fucked it up. Think about it. Everybody and their mother has a Grogu and Mandalorian t-shirt. Nobody except fucking homeless people have sequel trilogy t-shirts, okay? Like, what the fuck? Right, I'm not wrong. Like, I'm a stoner, but I'm not wrong.
Well,
right?
there's some people out there like, that are like, delusional.
Yeah, usually
violent and unstable. Yeah, man. Who rock that merchandise or defend those? No, films.
Like, yeah, I guess if you're wearing that T-shirt, you're gonna have to fucking explain it. Like, I get it when a little kid likes it, but when an adult tells me they're good movies, I'm like, what the fuck happened to your eyes? Anyway,
I say, what happened to your brain?
Not like, true, but you know,
you have head trauma.
It starts with the eyes, man.
Were you completely shit faced while watching the film?
Possibly.
Are you cataracts? Any glasses? How many fingers am I holding up? All right. So, all right. Back to the point. The show itself. Starting last season, because last season was fucking good too, up to like now, it's really made me take a second look at what's going on with Star Wars and really kind of got me back into it. Plus, Star Wars Squadrons came out this year too, and it was a really good game. And that really got me back into Star Wars too, because it's like, it's an X-Wing, TIE Fighter simulator, sim / action game. It's really good. The Mandalorian got it right. And we've been waiting for this since 1984 when Return of the Jedi, or 1983 when Return of the Jedi dropped. And yeah, man, like, it's fucking insane. Like, I'm not ashamed of having my sleeve now. Like, you know, I got Boba Fett on my sleeve in 2005. Like, I've been living this life, like this dude says in Rogue One. Like, I've been living this life since I was like 4 years old. And yeah, man, like, I think The Mandalorian is like one big love letter to like us and Star Wars. I think they need to give Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau their own movie, like, stat, because they fucking get Star Wars. Mm-hmm. There's Star Wars at its heart is just a silly fucking fantasy about space wizards and people flying in space with no windows. It doesn't have to make sense, but it has to be fun. And when you take the fun out of it, it's just not Star Wars anymore. The prequels are fucking bad. That's another revisionist fucking history that came out this year. Hayden Christensen is not the best actor in the world back then. I know he's gotten better. But the best part of that movie was Obi-Wan. The best part of all those movies was Obi-Wan. Fucking General Grievous, a 10-foot-tall asthmatic Turkish guy. What the fuck? And he dies like a bitch. I was like, ugh. Someone else said something to me earlier on one of my social media things, and I have been saying it too before. The stuff about the prequels and the sequels is like, if they're missing the heart that is in Star Wars. Like, when you watch the original trilogy, even with the special editions, those are people in suits. Those are Muppets. Those are like practical effects. And that was kind of what brought us to everything about it. And that's why we love it so much. Like, we saw how it was made. And we fell in love with it. We saw how they fucking did everything. And it just made us, like, fall in love with everything, every aspect of it. People got into fencing because of Star Wars. People got into samurai culture because of Star Wars. the Japanese movies that inspired George Lucas, all that kind of shit. And yo, dude, like The Mandalorian fucking nailed it to the wall.
Is it the way?
Yeah, I can't wait. I think that like after the backlash that the trilogy that the sequels got, they're kind of going back to basics, which is something they really needed to do. And mm-hmm. I just am so happy with the way it turned out, man. I mean, people who have never seen a Star Wars movie have Grogu like in their hearts. I mean, that says a lot for a fucking Muppet. Like, the other thing about this Mandalorian that I thought was great too is, which I was completely shocked, half of the effects for this season, and I guess last season, were practical effects. When you see the AT-AT walkers, the AT-AT AT-AT cranes, those are fucking models. Holy shit, man. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I kind of noticed it in the last episode because some of the CGI is wonky. But yeah, like most of the stuff that it did for the effect stuff is practical. And yeah, man, like that's the kind of love these people have for this shit, dude. Like they got the spirit of it. And the spirit of Star Wars is being nerdy, having fun, and believing in space wizards, like laser swords. I mean, Star Wars doesn't make any sense. You've got fucking hyperspace and lightsabers, but you can't cure astigmatism. What the fuck? Like, why do they wear glasses? Think about it. Anyway, Mandalorian's awesome, and that was my pick.
I also feel like with Star Wars also had a lot of heart. There was a lot of good versus evil. You know, it really shined the light on the basic story of a hero's journey, which honestly is the same direction that they're taking in Mandalorian. You know, it's like a space version of Adventures in Babysitting. Yeah. You know, and again, it's full of a lot of heart and a lot of the importance of kinship and your traditions, you know, and their clans and what's right, what's wrong, even if it's against their way, they're standing up for what they believe in, you know, listening to their intuition. Like for me, Star Wars, when I was younger, wasn't just about the space wizards and the badass fucking princess that was the first to fucking grab a gun and start shooting back during her own rescue. It also had to do with the good versus evil and the right and the wrong, and actually telling you that it just takes a little bit of you to be angry or jealous or frightened to get corrupted by the fucking dark force. And in real life concepts, you're either a good person or a bad person or somewhere in the gray. And Star Wars took it and made it a magical, mystical thing that entertained adults and also entertained and programmed children very, you know, entertainingly, the difference between right and wrong. And I even remember hearing about that the Jedi practice became like a written book. So for me, that I just wanted to like throw that into that that mix there. Because
I want to do a deep dive. Yeah, holy shit, man, this is a good week.
Having a stroke. Go see him, Steve.
We're gonna do a deep dive on this probably after New Year's, and I'm gonna really, really get into it. And it gives you guys time to watch the season again and, you know, watch the season finale, because we really don't want to spoil anything. And god damn, dude, it was so bad today. We're gonna do a really deep dive on this, and we're gonna go into detail on every episode and the back stuff for everything in a future episode. So just stay tuned. Like I could talk Star Wars for fucking ever. So yeah, we're gonna do that later.
Yeah. So stay tuned for first watch. I'm back. Yeah. So so now that we have that out of the way, we're gonna go with Franny. What you got, dude?
So I also was thinking Mandalorian, but I didn't finish season 2. So I was like, that's not fair. My pick is Schitt's Creek season 6 came nice. Out this year, and that show is fantastic. That show also had a lot of heart, thought outside the box, took a already kind of basic storyline of rich people out of their element and losing everything, and grew it into something so much more than just that, and really thought outside the box, and completely blew up the Emmys when they took every single category for a comedy show with their 6th season alone. So that is just phenomenal. And it's a great watch. I'm absolutely obsessed with the show. And I own like 3 of the sweaters from that show. And I'm really, really proud of them. and season 6 makes you cry. Again, it is a season that like hits you hard and has such great development with the characters, and each of their life story gets a nice little closing, and every closing is emotional. Some more than others, you know, depending on who you kind of clicked with more, but all in all, an emotional purge and very entertaining. And that's my pick.
Nice. Yeah, you've mentioned Schitt's Creek a few times on the episodes, but
obsessed.
Yeah, it's a show worth, you know, it's worth obsessing over, because like I said before, like I've watched I think like the first 2 seasons of it or so, and it was a really fun show to watch. Unfortunately, I haven't caught up on it yet, but that is in the plans. So I'm planning on watching it, catching up on it, and seeing all the awesomeness that's there. So now I'm going to go with Alex's pick, right? Do Alex next? Yeah. And he picked a show that actually I was watching today, is the 4th season of Big Mouth. And that show, OMG, that show. It's so fucking funny. Like not just funny, haha, just ha, it's so funny, haha. No, it's fucking like literally laugh out loud funny. Like I was there are jokes in there that like I couldn't keep my laughter in. Like I just had to fucking literally laugh out loud. It was fucking good. There's so much good shit in it. I'm not completely done with the season, but I'm gonna talk about it because of course like I've been watching it. So like it's just so funny. Like they go from just having the kids, even though they're going through puberty at the moment. Obviously that's the whole reason of the show. It shows a lot of what happens kind of behind the scenes of, you know, the hormone monsters in a way, and also like how the kids interact with each other and how they're trying to do the whole social thing with, like, you know, the LGBTQ stuff and everything. Now they have a transgender character on the show. I guess it's a bit of a spoiler, but not at the same time. There's also a gay character on the show, and how, you know, relationships wind up building within the teens or whatever. And it's a really, really fun show. It's definitely worth checking out.
That was a show that you turned me on to. Another one. Steve has really good taste.
Well, thank you. I try something.
And we were talking about it earlier because he was laughing so hard. I was like, what the fuck are you watching? It's an adult show in more ways than one, because it's not just like the sex jokes, dick jokes, whatever. They look at that in a adult way. Mm-hmm. Like they actually, there's a moral in every episode. It's not just dick jokes. Like it's actually, there's a point to what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, and the way they handle the way kids are at school now is really interesting. I know that all the guys that work on it are parents now, so I guess that's why they got it. That's where they get it from. Yeah, it's a really good show. Highly recommend it if you don't watch it.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth a watch. Like, it's one of those shows that I'm glad I started watching. Like, because it's super fucking entertaining. There's so much shit in the show to watch that you're just like, fuck, what are they gonna do next? Like the one episode that I was watching today, it was talking about I guess I could spoil it a little bit. It talks about how some black people, or just not just black people, but like Hispanic people as well, they switch up the way they speak, or they switch up the way their attitudes are when they interact with other people that are not necessarily of their race. Like if you speak to like a white person or whatever, you speak in a specific way, or you talk in a specific way, so that way you kind of like whitewash yourself in a way sometimes.
And it was, I dealt with that rich people, so yeah. it's not just color or whatever. Like I've dealt with that with rich people, so yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's kind of they kind of touch on that in that episode. And it's funny how they do it, because they're just like, oh no, we don't do this, and like yeah, you turn it up to, you know, super black or whatever. It's fucking funny. It's definitely it's one of those funny episodes, and there's a lot of shit that happens throughout the entire thing. You're just like, god damn it, why did I think of that? yeah. So Big Mouth is Alex's next pick. And then continuing with the TV stuff, I'm going to go with another one of my choices, which is actually a show that Renee put me onto, that I was like, holy shit, this shit is amazing. And that's Lovecraft Country that came out this year on HBO. Holy shit, it's a good fucking show. Well, we spoke about it previously for a while, and it's one of those shows that it hits you in the face with awesomeness, man. Like it's sci-fi goodness to the next level. Like there's just so much shit throughout the entire show that you're just like, fuck, what are they gonna do next? And you're like, shit, you just can't get any better. It's just so much shit that's like, the story is so good. The back and forth between the characters is good. Their actions and how they do things, and their thought process as things go, is actually very real as it goes along. Even though it is like a sci-fi show, it's a very realistic take on sci-fi in a way.
Yeah, dude, I'm so glad you like gave it a shot, because that show is really different and it's so fucking good. Like I call it 2020's Watchmen.
Yeah, it really is.
I know, like, it got a lot of flack for some shit, some of the race stuff, and I don't know, people need to wake the fuck up and learn their history about this country. It's like Watchmen, it uses race as the backdrop for a bigger story, and it's a great story. You said sci-fi, it's also like half, it's half and half sci-fi and horror. And the horror is some seriously good fucking horror. This ain't Walking Dead, motherfucker. It's a really good, fucking smart, well-written, well-acted fucking show. Like I was telling Steve, like one of the girls who's in the show is in his house, which is another good, really good thing to check out on Netflix. And this dude's gonna be Kang. Cannot wait to see him as Kang.
Yeah, he's gonna be Kang the Conqueror in the Marvel movies.
I can't unsee it now, because he kind of has the same like wide face as OG Kang, so like I can't unsee it. And he's in the Spike Lee movie, the Five Bloods. He's in that.
Yeah, that's another one that came out. Like, that's actually on a lot of people's like favorite list of the year as well.
He's not like in there for like a cameo. Like he's in it for the whole fucking movie. Like it's actually, that's what caught my eye with this kid, because he's really good. Okay. He's done some other movies too. I just haven't had a chance to watch him. I think, yeah, I forgot the name of it. Something in San Francisco, which I heard was really good. Yeah, man, definitely check out Lovecraft Country. Lovecraft himself was a straight up fucking white supremacist, and it was fucking awesome how they fucking like shoved that in back in his face. And it's an all black show, not all black, but it's like a mostly black cast. Yeah, I love this show. Really good. The first two episodes are like a really good short movie, and then the rest just keeps going. Yeah. And historically accurate too, like just everything about the show is fucking dope. Definitely check it out.
It's definitely worth the watch, so like I recommend the fuck out of this show. Like everybody should watch it, because it's good. It's really, really good show. It's not just TV, it's HBO. That was a bad, bad joke, but I'll go fuck. Because it's good.
Your dad is a dad joke. You let it slide.
Yeah, I guess. That's fair. And I guess that's it for that, for our second choices. I guess we're going to go into our third choices. I'm going to go with Brian's third choice. And that is, a lot of us actually decided to pick music for our third choice. And that's me, Alex, and Brian picked music for our third choice. And for our third choice, Brian went with Nobody Sings Like You Anymore, which is the covers album that they put out for Chris Cornell, which is one of the songs that was on last week's episode. And it's a great album because, like I said, it's all covers, but it's a really, really good covers album. Like, he covers a lot of songs that, and not only just the fact that they're good songs, it's the fact that it's Chris Cornell's voice is just one of those voices that you're just like, holy shit. Like, he's actually one of the best singers of, like, the last few years. Unfortunately, he passed away because he killed himself. But it was one of those, he's one of those artists that came out of the grunge era. And it was, he didn't just stick to the grunge. His voice carried into other things, and it was fucking fantastic. I just love everything that he's put out, and it was just an amazing fucking album. It's good damn shit. So definitely check out Nobody Sings Like You Anymore. Yeah, it's a good album. Franny, what's your next choice for your third choice?
excuse me. My third choice, I had a movie and a TV show, so I'm going to go with the TV show. Mm-hmm. Because it's great, and I just want to mention it. Okay. So What We Do in the Shadows season 2.
Yes.
Is another great show and another great season that came out this year, and I think it was Renee that said it. TV had a lot of great things drop this awful, awful year. Mm-hmm. And I actually found that there were more seasons that dropped that I liked than movies. So Into the Shadows is about vampires, and there's also a movie. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It's totally worth watching.
Yeah, also check out the episode of It's Poppin' where we spoke about
it. Yeah, we actually talked about that. That's how great it was. And they have their second season, and I'm crossing my fingers that they get a third, because
they're working on the third season.
Oh, that's great news. There we go. I'm happy. So this show isn't just about vampires and other mystical creatures, like werewolves and witches and curses and banshees and a whole bunch of other crazy things that I can't wait for them to probably introduce as the show continues. But they're also adding lore to the vampire genre, which really tickles my geeky bone, because it's so original. They took a seriously ancient idea about vampires and expanding on it more than anyone has done since, like, since the Trump. Damn it, not the lady who, Anne Rice, and like the person that wrote the True Blood series. They expanded it a little bit, but like What We Do in the Shadows is just like taking it to like the next level in a really fun office kind of mockumentary kind of way, and letting us be in this world of vampires and showing how hard it is for them to incorporate themselves in society as the years evolve, it's getting harder and harder and harder for them to keep up. And season two introduces the concept of vampire slayers and witches. So that was great. Mm-hmm. And so what we do in the shadows is my third pick.
Yeah, one of my favorite things from what we do in the shadows is the fact that they have a Daywalker, which was something that we've never really seen other than in Blade. And that's fucking fun. It's a Daywalker, but not only just a Daywalker, but it's also a Daywalker that sucks your energy.
He's a psychic vampire. He's my favorite. He's so my favorite. I'm googling. Robinson. They call him Robinson.
How was the Babadook? Because I read somewhere that the Babadook was on the show.
Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah.
He's just like a guest. He's not like an episode. He was mad chill.
I gotta check it out, dude.
You knew it was him because of the makeup.
Oh my god.
I think someone says who invited the Babadook.
All right, I gotta check it out because you guys, like, everybody's been talking about this season, so I gotta check it out. And I'm a huge fan of everything connected to the movie, so
yeah. And also, it's like a Waititi thing. Like, he's also, like, you know, the guy that did an episode of Mandalorian. He also did, you know, the Guardian stuff, and he's also working on fucking a bunch of other shit. So
he's doing a Star Wars movie. It might be the surprise next time. It might be one of the surprises. What the fuck? This is how crazy this year's been. That fucking was Jojo Rabbit this year?
No, that was last year.
No, that was last year.
All right, you're about to say, like, that movie was like awesome.
We also did
a video, weird ways.
A podcast on that movie.
Jojo Rabbit. Yep.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Fucking what we do in the shadows is fucking great.
And it's very, very original. I like, one of my favorite episodes this season was the introduction to witches, and witches apparently harvest vampire sperm to put on their faces so they can stay young forever. I was like, what? And then they make a deal with the psychic vampire, or with our vampires, they make a deal that they're just going to do it themselves instead of them forcefully extracting it from them.
Hold on. I'm actually afraid to ask, but how do you forcibly remove sperm?
Oh, they show you very, very painful looking objects of torture.
Yeah.
And only one of the vampires gets really excited. Laszlo gets really excited. Yeah. And he's like, ooh, where's that going?
Yeah.
And it's full of spikes. So I don't know. I'll get a chance to extract it because
I mean, there's much easier ways. And there's much easier ways. And I can tell you that most guys would be really okay with the easy way.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, like, that's really funny. All right.
Oh, wait, no, Gamero, their slave boy, their little
Guillermo.
He's the one that makes the deal.
Yeah.
He's the one that makes the deal. I'm sorry.
It turns out there's a few things that happen with him too. So, like, I guess I'm not gonna spoil that part, but yeah, Guillermo's he's a good guy.
He's confused. He's definitely very confused. And I'm glad he's on the show. Yes. Because he really is, like, each character, well, no, only Gamera, say his name again, Steve?
Guillermo. Yeah.
Him and Robinson, the psychic vampire, are pretty much the only characters that are evolving through the show. The other ones, they're, like, past their prime of, like,
because with the other ones, they're all older dudes.
Yeah, they're ancient, ancient vampires.
Yeah.
Who are just trying to get by.
Yeah, it's fucking good. You should definitely check out What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
It's a very, very, very fun show. And I'm going to go now with... whose pick is it now? Is it Alex's third pick now? Yes, I did Brian's.
Yes. So
now it's Alex's third pick. And Alex, of course, the next couple picks are going to be music picks. Oh no, no, no. Renee, did you do yours? No, you didn't do your third pick yet. So yeah, it's your turn, Renee.
Hello.
Yeah, my bad.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was like. I mean, I'm high, but I'm not that high. I was like,
yeah.
The third. All right. Okay, so my third pick, dude, it was so hard to fucking make this list. Sober too. It was really hard. There was like that's another thing. Like video games, like TV shows this year were really, really good. And no, well, yeah, there were like TV shows. It was like a couple of really bad games, but mostly this year we got a lot of really entertaining stuff. And also the second half of last year, we got some really, really great fucking games. And like Star Wars Jedi Order was like at the end of last year, and that game is amazing. Yeah, if you're into Star Wars, definitely check out Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Okay.
Watch the cutscenes on YouTube. It makes a great Star Wars movie, and it's canon. It's canon. It's in the Star Wars story. It's official. Yeah, I can't wait till we have the fucking Mandalorian episode. We're gonna be talking shit for hours. So my third pick is a video game, and there are so many good games this year, and like I mean, really, really good games. So I just finished playing this, and this game fucked me up so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't been that fucked up from a video game since, I guess, Fallout 3. Because there's some crazy shit that happens. No, New Vegas, probably. New Vegas. Because there's some shit that happens in New Vegas that just fucking blows your mind. Like, if you've been paying attention to the story, if you pay attention to the story in the Fallout games, it's a really good fucking story. And it's a whole fucking mythology because it's the games have been going since the 90s. So anyway, my pick is The Last of Us 2 for the PS4 and the PS5. It's a 5-star game. It's fucking perfect from start to finish. It's just so good. The story basically is like a continuation of the first one. It's a couple years later, and people are dealing with the repercussions of what happens in the first game. In the first game, there's just like space war that lands on the planet, and it turns into a zombie type virus, right? And it's not like normal zombies. They mutate. So like you have one version of a zombie, then you have like a stronger, better version of that zombie, then another one, and another one, another one. And like the story in that first game is really good too. And like I said with the other game that I mentioned, you can just watch the cutscenes on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And like they make a good story movie. And the fucking HBO show is gonna be fucking amazing. If it's as close to this fucking game, it's gonna be really fucking good. And I actually really wanna see what happened in this world, because some of the shit that they show in this game like really scratches your head, like what the fuck happened? Cause yeah. In The Last of Us 1, the whole point is to rescue a survivor of the virus who's immune. And she's the only living person on the planet who's immune to this virus. So they want to make a cure for her. And at the end of the game, the choice is either you let them make the cure for the virus, but they have to take it out of her brainstem. So they have to cut out her brainstem. So if they do it, they kill her. Or you shoot everybody in the operating room and you rescue the girl. So then the sequel is dealing with what happened in the hospital and in that room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you play as two characters. One is Ellie, the girl from the first game, who was like I think 14 in the first game. She's like 19-20 in this game. And you also control her enemy, who is a girl named Abby, who's about the same age. Abby is the daughter of the main doctor that was operating on Ellie, right? So she's got she's out for fucking vengeance and blood for anyone connected to Ellie. So, like, her people are enemy number one to Abby, and her people are enemy number one to Ellie. They end up killing her father figure. Like, Abby, you see it happen from, like, different angles. Like, you see it from Abby's side, and you see it from Ellie's side. And they both have their reasons for doing what they're doing, right? And that's what drives the game. Yeah, dude. So imagine you're playing the fucking video game and they fucking like kill your dad and you have to fucking see it and suck it up and then deal with it. And the story leaked. The entire fucking game leaked about like 2 months before it came out. So this shit was like on the internet. And I fucking wasn't paying attention at all because I was like dealing with my own fucking stress in real life. So you saw that. You saw what I was dealing with. Like video games were the last thing in my fucking mind. Mm-hmm. And so I avoided all the spoilers and everything. And I just like went into the game cold just on the success of the first game. And I was completely blown the fuck away. The stuff that happens in this game is fucking over the top and gory as fuck. And it felt like you were in a war. I mean, I know that sounds fucking crazy, but this game gave me like a week of PTSD. And I know that sounds really bad for anybody who's in the military, and I apologize. But this game is really fucking good at showing why war is wrong and why people need to stop doing certain things. And dealing with the pandemic in real life and playing that game was really fucking creepy at some points. And it's yeah, dude, the story is so fucking good, man. Like, that's another thing I could talk for hours on. Like, the story itself is really, really, really fucking good. Everyone dies. Everybody you care for fucking dies. It's just fucking so down of a story. But at the same time, it's such a great fucking game. It looks amazing. It plays amazing. I'm not a fan of third-person games like Gears of War. Like, you know, when you're playing a video game, if you see your character, that's third-person. Like the Batman games, Gears of War, and this. I hate that type of game because you have to, like, fight like that. And sometimes the camera fucks up. And you also got to do a lot more moving on like every different direction. Unlike first-person shooters where like, you know, you only have a set amount of ways that you can move. Mm-hmm. But that's the way the games are built. And that system works for me because I'm so used to it. The only game that actually changed that up was Doom, which was another fucking amazing game for 2020. Yeah, man, like this game, if you haven't, I know I just spoiled the shit out of it, but if you haven't played it yet, go fucking check it out. Play that shit. It's also really, really fucking long. I think I put in...
You were on it for a while.
Yeah, dude. It was fucking long. It was so long. Like, I got to the point where I kept checking the fucking thing, and I was like, yo, like, where the fuck am I in the story? Because this shit is going nuts. And, like, if you play the game straight fast, you can do it in 20 hours. If you do it the way I did it and, like, semi-complete it and, like, get as many of the awards as you can get, I put in, like, 80 hours. Yeah, and it fucking tells you how long you're playing, man.
That's the work right there.
yeah, but, dude, it's unlike work. It's so fulfilling mentally. Like, it's like reading a really good horror story. It felt like reading, like, playing a version of The Stand. This one more so than the first game, because like the first game is like it's there, but it's not there. This one fucking sticks in your head, man. Like, depressing as it is, like I was thinking about like playing it again next year to kind of complete it. And the cast is great, the acting is great. It's a really good game. My only nitpick, yeah, is the length. Like I was joking around that the game directors of this game went to like the Peter Jackson School of Video Game.
That's hilarious.
Because there's like fucking 10 endings to it. And like there's a giant boss battle with Abby that I was like, holy shit. Like I had to really stop and like walk around. Thank God I'm on Zoloft now because I can't lose another controller. Like I was like, what the fuck, dude? It's really, really good. Like I loved it. It was so fucking good. Yeah, what else? There's some other stuff I want to talk about, but yeah, dude, it's like it's a perfect game, and yeah, dude, like at the end of it too, like it's such a fucking crazy game too, like for me personally, because it's 2020. Yeah, so for like half of my life, I was really homophobic and racist, right? And it's just the way I was raised. It just, like, fucked me up for a little bit. And It was, and I was also super religious when I was young, which people fucking crack up when I tell. So
that's like most Hispanics back in the day. Like most of us, we're pretty much, a lot of us are super Hispanic.
It's actually still a thing too, which fucking kills me. Homophobia and racism is really bad in Hispanic culture, and mm-hmm. a lot of people don't really talk about it. I haven't seen the shows that have been out that have a lot of Hispanic culture in them, so I don't know if they touch on it, but yeah. But the game on a personal level touched me because Ellie's a lesbian and Abby's just a very strong female character. And for me to be able to play a game like this and to enjoy it that immensely, and to make me think about what the fuck was wrong with me 20 years ago, that I was so ignorant and so blind that everyone's just who they are. And you shouldn't judge any of that shit. And it's that fucking deep of a game that I was sitting there like, holy shit, like this is so fucking crazy. Like, I've never had a video game touch me on a personal level like that. At all. Like, and I play a lot of fucking role-playing games and a lot of really good story-based games. Like, nothing has fucking got to me. I think the only other games that got to me, funny enough, that I was fucking shitting on it before, but The Walking Dead story games.
Oh, yeah.
They're on the cell phones.
The Telltale Game ones?
Yeah, the cell shaded one. Like, they're actually on fucking phones now, so you can play them on your mm-hmm. phone. Though, that story is better than anything the fucking last 4 or 5 seasons is on The Walking Dead. So, like that whole series fucking broke my heart. And yo, Last of Us 2 broke my heart a few times. Like, it is crazy, crazy good. Yeah, that's my third one. That's awesome. There's so many good games this year too. Like, I could make a 10 of list of the best games of this year.
That's awesome.
And I didn't. Also, the one thing that I kind of want to say before I completely forget is I haven't played Ghost of Tsushima. This is so hard to say when you're stoned. Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
For the PS5, which is also PS4, which is also supposed to be a really, really great game.
That's the samurai one, right?
Yeah, and it just dropped to like half price, so I'm probably gonna pick it up next week.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I got an Amazon credit or something. I know I got a credit somewhere that I can get it pretty cheap, so I might get it next week or the weekend.
Do it.
Yeah.
Right now, are you back yet, or are you still not here? Okay, she's probably still away.
You did. You already third went?
Huh? No. We're still going on for third. But it was supposed to be Franny's turn. But yeah. I guess I will go with Alex's turn for this one. Because we already did Brian, so we're gonna go with Alex's turn right now. We're gonna go with Hatebreed's album, The Weight of the False Self, which is their like 9th studio album. And it is fucking fantastic. Like, I'm a huge fan of fucking Hatebreed. I'm actually I believe I'm the guy that told Alex about Hatebreed. And it's one of those albums that you just listen to it from beginning to end. It's like, it's just ruthless aggression, but not only just ruthless aggression, but it's also like all the lyrics are pretty much positive lyrics that give you a little bit of inspiration as you go throughout your day listening to it. It's a really great listen. Like, you just sit down and you power through it and you're just like, fuck, this shit is so good. Because it's just, it's heavy music, of course. But it's also heavy music that has like a lot of heart to it. And it's fucking good. Like, you gotta love music or things that have heart. Like, a lot of the things that we spoke about on the show today have heart, which is the one thing that we've actually like enjoyed about the things that we've seen, that it basically has that human element to it that helps people just like attach to it and actually live through the things that they're trying to portray. And Hatebreed is one of those bands that put that out and actually let it be known that, like, yo, like, try not to live something else that you're not, or do something else that you're not. That's pretty much the gist of the album, is, you know, push off that weight that's not what you bring to the world. That's fucking good. It's fucking great. It's a great fucking album. So I definitely suggest you check it out. We actually played a couple of their songs on a few of the episodes previously. So go check those out. But yeah, just check out the album in general. It's fucking great. So Hatebreed, Weights of False Self. It's a good album. And then my choice for my last album. Well, I guess my last choice for the top three is Deftones. Deftones' Ohms came out this year. And it is a fantastic fucking album that is just one of those things that you're just like, I wonder what Deftones is going to put out now. Because Deftones has been out for a while, and they've evolved their sound from being like super heavy and just craziness to a lot of somber melodic, but yet still heavy at times. And this album is a perfect mixture of it all. I've seen them live a few times, and listening to this album, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see them play live again. Because there's a lot of songs that lend themselves to actually seeing it in front of a live audience, or in front of, you know, having them play in front of a live audience. And it's fucking great. It's a really good fucking album from beginning to end, like just like the Hatebreed album. It's just nonstop good shit. I fucking love the album. It's actually an album that I'm going to be talking Charlie and myself are going to be talking about on a new episode that we're going to be doing for Turntable, because that's going to be a whole another music episode.
I want it. you stole my music pick, Parker. So,
oh, my bad. for Turntable. So yeah, for Turntable, we're gonna be doing our top five.
Yeah.
So Charlie and I are gonna be doing our top five albums for Turntable.
I mean, if you want to do something, I'm down, because that album is like really fucking good. It's probably the best Deftones album since Yo, whatever, the weird one, yeah. The weird name one,
yeah,
that I can never remember. It's so good.
The name one, yeah.
Cole something, right?
Yeah.
It's really good. If you haven't checked out Deftones in a while, definitely pick up that album. Not a big fan of the remix album, because I just but. It's like fucking if Frank Sinatra tried a Deftones song to me. Like, some of those remixes just don't cut it for me. But yeah, the album's really fucking good.
Yeah. This original release, which is Ohms, is actually really damn good. They also released a couple weeks ago, they released Black Stallion, which is the remix album of White Pony. So this is pretty much coming out of their, like, say it's like 10 year anniversary of it, I believe. I could be completely wrong, but it's their anniversary album for White Pony. That's why it was a remix album for that. But yeah, back to Ohms. Like, it's fucking great from beginning to end. Like, there's so much goodness in it. Like, what I love about the album is, like, yes, I've said it, that it's, you know, it's one of those albums that you'd want to see them perform live. But what I did actually like, that stands out the most on the album, is like, there's a lot of bass in it. There's a lot of good bass that, like, it's the rhythm on the bass that you're just like, fuck, this is so good. Like, it just flows so well from beginning to end. It's just like, shit, they did such a good job on it. And I fucking love it. It's definitely a great fucking album. Definitely worth checking out. Definitely worth taking the time out. Just sit down and just listen to it. Don't do anything. Just sit there and just check out the whole fucking album. That's fucking good. So that's pretty much our top stuff. The few of our favorite things. But before, we're not going to go anywhere yet. Because what we're going to do now, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to go into the mid-song like we usually do on most episodes. Well, not most episodes, not every episode. We always do a mid-song. And this week, I'm going to go with an album, with a song from a band that actually Alex introduced me to years ago, back when we were in college. He introduced me to a band called El Nino. And they've recently switched up a few people in the band. And it's kind of sad to see a few people leave, especially the lead singer. He left the group, but they didn't get a bad replacement. He's actually a pretty good replacement. I enjoy this song. It's really fucking good. It's a really fun song. It's very heavy, but I really like it. Like, I'm super excited to see what they're gonna do for this album. It's gonna be coming out in a few months, I'm assuming. Let me see, they didn't really mention when it's coming out. But it's a dope fucking album. It's a dope fucking song. I really fucking like El Nino, and I'm glad to see that they're actually, you know, putting out new music. Because especially after losing the lead singer and losing other members of the band. But it's good to see them actually put some shit out. So this is El Nino and Máscara, which is mask in Spanish. So check it out, and we'll be right back.
I tell you! Your friend betrayed you.